Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Accent Training Podcast. My name is Pat. I'm your personal American accent coach. And I've got a lot of teachers that listen to this show. And so I wanted to put an episode out for the teachers, specifically the English teachers. I want to tell English teachers three ways that you're wasting your students' time when you're training pronunciation. I'm not saying this to get you upset, but I'm saying it so that you can know what to stop doing, and plus, I'm going to give you a solution. I'm going to tell you what you should be doing instead. Now, of course, most of the people listening to this podcast are not English teachers. So to the people who consider themselves more as students and not so much teachers, I want you to listen in closely so that you can spot teachers who are wasting your time so that you can quickly ask them to stop doing those things or find yourself a new teacher, you know, if you think it's time to move on. So the first thing that teachers do that wastes time is not giving any assessment to their students before they start working with them. That is to say that you go into classes completely blindly. You don't want to do that. You don't want to go into every class trying to improvise lessons and develop materials on the spot. When I was an amateur accent coach, I would pull up news articles with my students, and I'd have them read it out, and then I would tell them every single mistake that they made. This was actually a terrible exercise because I was giving them so much information at once instead of giving them a piece of information of what they need to improve. And it would lead to me improvising lessons. I would say like, oh, you want to work on the an and man and the th sound at the same time? Let's do it. And I would teach both of those sounds to the person, and it would just be a big waste of time. So the number one way to avoid wasting your students' time is to get materials beforehand and assess what your students' strengths are and what their weaknesses are. Plus, assessments will allow you to judge whether your method is working or not. If you're giving your student an assessment every 4 weeks or so, then you can get an idea of what they are doing well and what's falling behind, and you can modify your teaching style accordingly. This will allow you to focus class time on key areas of development. Now, when I say key areas of development, does that mean the most difficult sounds? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Let me explain, because that's actually the second thing that teachers do that waste their students' time. They start with the most difficult sounds, and then they try to work on the easiest, or they even just ignore the easiest ones because they say, oh, you've already got that developed. Let's just ignore it. Let's focus only on the toughest sounds of the language to develop. So here's what not to do. Beginning your training with the R sound or with the TH sound, your students will see minimal to no muscle memory development. They will not adapt it at all. And they'll be more likely to give up altogether than they will be to actually learn anything. Now, again, this is an issue that I used to have as well. It would happen to me all the time. I'd start with a student, an Italian student, for example. And the Italian student would tell me, I think that the TH sound is particularly difficult. And so we'd get into the TH sound. And they would see no progress in the TH sound, develop no good habits or muscle memory, because they don't understand why TH needs to be soft and quiet. And they would just give up. So what I learned to do is to follow the path of least resistance. So have the exact opposite approach. We would begin by creating good habits and identifying their strengths through assessments, like I mentioned, then fortifying those strengths and gaining momentum to take on more difficult sounds later. Starting with your students' strengths will let them create accent habits as they learn, instead of just trying to force in unfamiliar muscle memory. So you want to start with their strengths. It's going to enable them to create good habits. And then they can take those good habits and apply them to more difficult sounds. Now, here's the thing. When you're following this method, it means that you're following a structure. You're not reacting to their pronunciation. You're not making that mistake that I made when I'd pull up an article for my students and I'd have them read everything out and then I would react. That doesn't work. It doesn't lead to sustainable results. And it just overwhelms them with information. And so the third thing that English teachers are doing that wastes the time of their students is reacting to pronunciation issues. Here's what not to do. Don't just teach them how to pronounce one word clearly. When you do that, and you're reacting to their issues, you're letting them steer the class. You're letting them say, we're going to learn this next. Now we're going to learn this next. Now we're going to learn this next. Who's supposed to be steering the class? The teacher or the student? If a student tries doing that, you've got to slow them down, you know, help them, walk them through whatever difficulties they can grasp that will show them some results with that. Of course, you want them to be satisfied, but don't just jump on one word after another. Have some structure. Have a method. Don't just be jumping onto one sound after another, trying to identify every single word that pops up out of the thousands that they may say, and get yourself distracted from the point of the class. Here's what you've got to do instead. As I mentioned, assessments. If you've already done your assessment, then you've identified the problematic pronunciations and the easy pronunciations. You need to strategically address common denominators to see results that impact many areas. This means that you're not just focusing on one word at a time, but you're looking at a sound that will improve their pronunciation for many words. So suppose we're talking about the ah sound. If you focus on developing the ah sound, one of their strengths, and you show them how versatile it is, how they can say it for water, not, call, awesome, audio, then you'll be taking care of the core issues of their pronunciation. Mispronunciations of words, those are just symptoms of the problem. The problem is that they don't have the muscle memory or the habits developed that allow them to use the American accent properly. So if you're just jumping on the symptoms one after another, you're not actually fixing the issue. The issue is still going to keep popping up and they're going to keep on regressing because they don't have new muscle memory developed. And that's why it's important not to let them steer the class. Not to let the student say, I want to learn this next. I want to learn that next. I want to say this word clearly. Instead, you want to say, hey, whoa, let's slow down. And look at the common denominator, between these difficult words. Then let's work towards fixing that issue. And so once again, through clear assessments and a focused, structured method, you'll be able to tackle the underlying pronunciation issues. And that's what I wanted to share with you today, folks. That's what I wanted everyone to know about. There are three things that English teachers do that waste their students' time when teaching pronunciation. They don't assess their students. They start with the most difficult sounds. And they teach reactively. They just jump on problems one after another as they pop up. And that's really a big waste of time for everybody. Now, you can take those issues and get upset about them, and you can say, oh, Pat doesn't understand, Pat doesn't know what he's talking about, and believe me, I do, because I made the transition from being an ESL teacher to an accent coach. I've done it, and it was painful for a little while before I really had a proper method worked out. But over the years and thousands of hours of teaching online, I've worked out a method that shows consistent results to people who apply it. And these were three of the major changes in my teaching style that I had to overcome and develop to become a successful accent coach. Now, I'm going to start making episodes helping teachers improve their accent training skills in the days to come. I think that this is something I absolutely want to be able to share with more people, because if more people can learn from my advice, then the quality of everybody's English speaking and education is going to go way up. So if you're an ESL teacher and you're subscribed to this podcast so that you can serve your students better, then I would appreciate you doing me a quick little favor and share this episode with other teachers so that they can improve their teaching style as well. Well, I've got to get to wrapping things up for today, my friends, but thank you for your attention. I hope that you took something of value from here to save either your client's time and improve the quality of their language education, or if you're a student, that you now know how to identify an experienced accent coach from an inexperienced accent coach. I now implore you to go about your life and use these things, and to have a good one, my friend.